Does this have the appropriate amount of razzle and or dazzle?
At least the razzle and dazzle are on the right channels.
Hooray!
Welcome to the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast, the only Survivor podcast where it's time for a doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Little Yu-Gi-Oh reference for to start your day. I'm your host, Stephen Levine, with my co-host, Jared Sheldon. You look so disappointed in
me. No, I was just going to say, and just like Yu-Gi-Oh, the TV show, at least the first season, the rules are inconsistent and don't matter.
We make it up as we go, right?
Well, you know why that is for Yu-Gi-Oh! Season 1, right?
Because it wasn't supposed to be a card game.
Yeah.
Like, they made up a card game to, I don't know, sell things.
They're literally not playing Yu-Gi-Oh! They're playing Duel Monsters.
Yeah.
Because Yu-Gi-Oh! The card game didn't exist yet.
No. They had to say, wait, hold up. We can make money off of this.
Dude, some of those, have you, like, gone back? There's, like, I think I've plugged him before. I can't remember his name, like, Anime Jones or something like that was doing, like, recaps, like, 5-minute recaps of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Episodes of the first season in, like, funny, like, parody ways.
Oh, there's, like, a full-on pilot with the pre-card game days.
Mm. What do you mean?
Like, you can go find evidence of what Yu-Gi-Oh! Was supposed to be before they went full-on card game. Like, it was...
Oh.
Maybe it wasn't an episode. I think it might have just been a manga where... Mm. They weren't playing a card game. They were playing something like more board gamey, but definitely playing for souls.
Like, yeah.
It was darker and also not card game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's. God. That whole first season's a fucking mess. It's so fun. This shit just changes constantly. We bring up Yu-Gi-Oh! A surprising amount for the fact, like, despite the fact that neither of us play that game.
No,
I did a lot growing up.
I didn't. I think I had a deck at some point, or somebody I knew had a deck and, like, I played with them.
Oh, I had, like, I had a few decks. I had the GBA game. I was in deep, man.
Jared wanted that King of Duelists, Duelist of Kings.
Those types of games have always scratched my brain. I think I love Magic the Gathering, despite the fact that I haven't played it in over a decade, probably. Just because it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find people to play with that I want to play with. And frankly, they've kind of jumped the shark, it would seem, with just like throwing every fucking IP you can imagine into it, which makes me mad. But the bones of that game are so good.
Mm-hmm.
The way that the stack works and the order of like things resolving, and I don't know, it tickles my brain.
Brings up a fun argument or conversation we can have about Survivor of jumping the shark. Have we jumped the shark? Is this the moment?
No.
Okay.
Because it doesn't feel like they're out of ideas. It just feels like they picked a bad one.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm
tipping your hand on how you feel about the duels.
Well, you know, honestly, it wasn't terrible.
Okay.
I guess I'm kind of tipping my hand even more. I don't know why they didn't just make the duels previously seen final three challenges, or final four challenges, depending on the season.
Mm.
Just, like, make it the stacking of the dishes. Make it the... I mean, I guess there's some you can't do because they were, like, ocean-based. But there are plenty of them that you could do that would work really well with this format.
Okay.
But they really needed to lay out the rules ahead of time. Because now Russell's on Redemption Island, and considering we already have, from previous seasons, rumors of production fuckery to help him out, not knowing when or how many people are coming back is not a great look.
What I'm hearing is you're afraid they're gonna, like, and now someone's coming back,
uh-huh,
like, in the second duel.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm very worried about that.
Exciting.
Okay. Anyway, Steven, how was your weekend?
It was fine. I don't know. I laid a little lower than expected. Like, we made a run to Costco, which, again, there's not a Costco anywhere near us, but they got some good stuff. I'm eating some cheese curds right here. That's not bad.
Okay. Rave reviews.
I know,
not
right?
Bad.
I like cheese curds. For anyone in Wisconsin, you didn't hear shit. No, I played some games yesterday, played some Expedition 33, played some Hades this morning, finally escaped, made an escape, which is great.
The first time?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Which, I guess, leads you to be... It's the game that wants you to keep playing forever.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's, like, a minor spoiler, but, like, it's a roguelike. I would hope that people... Like, if you know the format of roguelikes, you know that the first time you beat it is not the first time that you've seen all the story.
Yeah, and if you've...
I think it's 10 times.
Is it really?
I don't know that for sure, but I think so.
If you're paying attention, you can be like, oh, there's clearly stuff that I have not seen. Yeah. So they either find a new protagonist or protagonist has to do this over again.
I don't feel bad about functional spoilers of how a game works mechanically.
Yeah.
Mostly, especially when it's that old.
So now I have to decide if I'm done with it or if I'm continuing on.
If you're going to play Hades 2, from what I've understood, you should do all 10 times.
Got it.
Or however many times it is. That's my understanding.
Got it.
I need to pick it back up. I need to finish Kiwami 2 first. And I have 9 scripts to read by next Sunday.
That's
I think.
A lot of scripts.
Yeah, and I've not managed my time well. So that'll be a fun week for me.
Got it.
More than one a day.
You, how was your weekend?
I wasn't much. I mean, the only thing of note I really did besides record with you was I saw the Royal Rumble.
Jared Royal Rumble.
I've had a tangential interest in wrestling, but like I'm never going to sit down and watch wrestling alone. So I've only seen it a couple times when I've been invited, but one of my friends, her partner is a semi-professional wrestler. And so obviously they're big into it. Someone at the Royal Rumble, like they had wrestled against. None of us in the room really liked that it was in Riyadh. That was kind of weird. And all the female wrestlers had to wear bodysuits underneath their costumes or have costumes that covered all of their skin up to their head.
Oh.
Saudi Arabia.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't great. But it was fun. It was entertaining. I like the showmanship of wrestling. And
oh, this was like the actual WWE Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
What did you think I was talking about?
I thought you were going to a semi-professional Royal Rumble-esque something.
No. This is the one on ESPN that they had.
They played it on ESPN?
Mm-hmm. Other Whoa. Places too, probably, but
bananas.
Yeah, but no, one of the guys in the Royal Rumble is someone that my friend's partner has wrestled against before.
That's cool.
It was cool, and like there was a couple other semi-pro wrestlers there that were like talking about him when he came in. It was really fun.
I know I said this before on the podcast, but growing up, that was one of my like guilty pleasures. Oh, this is on. I want to see what this is about. Oh, I know what this is about, but I can't look away. It's something.
As someone who's been in the stage combat, I mean, I came from a stage combat class right before this recording. It's really fun to watch. My favorite thing about the Royal Rumble, though, having not seen it in a very long time, is that a new fighter enters the ring every 90 seconds. You can get thrown out and be eliminated earlier, but like, I think in the women's side, at one point there was like 19 people in the ring or something like that.
That's a lot of people.
And those first 90 seconds are the window where that wrestler is being highlighted, clearly. Most of the time, and then they'll have their other moments throughout, but sometimes it's like, oh, that person got in there really early, they had like a bunch of stuff that was front and center in the beginning, and now they're just gonna kind of be in the back and kind of like mark that they're fighting, but nothing's really happening. Like, if you're just watching them, you're like, We did something else fun too, that was we all pulled numbers, a couple numbers of like who the entrance number of like who we were rooting for,
okay,
with a prize of an action figure and a DVD of like WWE Cross Surfs Up from 2016.
What?
That the host found behind the shelves at Dollar General. must have been sitting there for 10 years.
That's bananas.
Yeah. Good.
I have not seen any wrestling since probably 2008, 2009. Mm. So I imagine a lot of new characters, a lot of...
Oh yeah, I recognize only like 3 people. But what was really good about it was having the super fans in the room. They could talk about like, and this is this person, and oh, they have beef with this person.
Oh, this
like,
is their bastard daughter.
Yeah, or like, oh, that the next person that came in was their tag team partner, and like they hate each other and stuff like that.
They were co-stars on a soap opera 3 years ago.
Dude, I fucking love kayfabe. I love kayfabe.
It's bananas. My curiosity is both peaked, and also I'm satiated. I'm good.
It's not something I personally want to get like super into, but I want to be around people who are really into it for the big events, so I can learn about it because it's fun.
Yeah, I had a friend from Australia really into Australian rules football. Me watching it, I'm like, okay, yeah, I understand the game.
Yeah,
you
showed it to me one time.
It's an interesting game. Watching it with someone who's very engaged, a lot more fun.
Mm-hmm.
And man, those referee signals, hilarious.
I don't remember them.
It's the, for a touchdown, it's two hands like straight up and then pointing forward really fast. So I'm going to demonstrate for Jared, but nobody else can see this.
That looks ridiculous.
Touchdown.
It looks like the Spider-Man pointing meme, but done very quickly, like you're drawing pistols in a Wild West movie.
That's 100% what that is. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, there was a really fun moment in the Royal Rumble, too, that I think you'll like this.
I didn't realize we were going to talk so much about WWE.
I didn't either, here we are. There is one of the people who came in. I will say the guys I had more fun with because there was some joke characters in there. And this is the shit I love about wrestling. There's a guy named Mr. Iguana who has a stuffed iguana that is his tag team partner.
What?
And everyone's buys in that he is a real wrestler. So he'll like throw the iguana at people and people will take the hit as if they're being clotheslined. Awesome. There was another one that was like a luchador. They had a few luchadors, but one of them that like he had taken up the mask because the guy before him that was in that position got like really hurt and they just swapped him and pretended that it was the same guy. But then the guy that they had swapped out
got better
and they met for the first time. Like they both were playing the same character, so the first one comes out at like 14 or whatever, and then the next one that comes out is the old one at 15, and so it comes into the ring and they do the Spider-Man pointing meme.
Is this I only know a few. Rey Mysterio?
No, it wasn't him.
Oh.
But it was he was there though.
Oh,
actually.
Okay. He's still going?
Yeah.
Shit.
He was one of the joke characters for sure because yeah, he's like in his 50s.
He's got to be old.
They're like, it's so fucking insane. There was a like the second or third guy that came in, like somebody came running in a mask and like beat the shit out of him before he got in the ring and then like helped get him out of the ring and then ran away into the crowd and nobody knows who it was, quote unquote. Like they were like, they're going to talk about it Monday Night Raw.
Of course.
Like, it's going to get revealed on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
It's just fucking bananas, man.
If you ever feel worthless in your life or like you have no purpose, imagine you could be a WWE referee.
No, they're important though, actually.
Are they?
Yes, because you need, in case you forget the choreography, you need someone to yell at to be like, ref, that's bullshit. Wait, what are we doing? What's going on?
Help
okay,
me.
Great. Yeah, that's horseshit. They're part of the acting. They're part of the world building.
They are part of the world building. You know what else is part of the world building? Emails. If you want to email us, feel free to do so. SurvivorTBT@gmail.com, or you can message us on Reddit u/SurvivorTBT. You can follow us on Patreon, where we do things, we watch things, we play things. All for a low fee of you could subscribe for $1 and get access to everything.
What else can you buy with a dollar nowadays?
Yeah. Remember when you could buy, like, so much food? Like, remember a dollar menu?
Steven, we're going to become boomers if you keep talking like this.
Back in my day,
I could get a McDouble for $1,
and it was great. Anyway, just one email on this one, because we're doing a lot back-to-back, just like a behind-the-curtain. Steven's going on vacation, so we have to record a bunch back-to-back. So you don't see any interruptions, and we do a lot of work all at one moment.
Yes.
Hooray. From Josh. Josh says, two hypotheticals I was interested on your thoughts on at the beginning of the season. I think my brain stopped working there for a second. One, you walk out onto a season of Survivor, and you see there's a returning player on your tribe. What do you think is the best strategy for handling this scenario?
I think it does depend on the returning player, to be fair.
Okay.
But I mean, most of the time, I think it's get rid of them. Get rid of them as quickly as you possibly can. They have more experience. They know what they're doing, which can be good for your tribe, but also, I'm not here to be the jobber in their story.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for them to go.
Yeah. If it's a scenario like this season where it's two returning players and the rest are newbies, mm-hmm. I would maybe hold on to them until the like right before the merge and then ditch them.
But they know that.
They do know that.
They're smarter than you and they're better than you most of the time because they've lived in the game before.
You're right.
But I also like I'd be more tempted to keep around Boston Rob than I would Russell Hantz.
Correct.
So yeah.
Yeah. If this was a season like not Heroes versus Villains, like
Fans versus Favorites?
Fans versus Favorites. That's what I was looking for. If this was a Fans versus Favorites situation, I would almost treat it as if these are all new players. Because there is a distinction there, but if you try to cut people based on solely they have played this game before, that's going to come back to bite you.
Yeah, yeah. If we're talking like half the cast, then yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. And two, do you think someone who is voted out and returned back to the game can win?
Ooh, that's interesting. This season, I do, actually, because at least, like, it's a tough battle. Like, uh-huh. It's an uphill climb. But I do think that they could, like, as opposed to the Outcast twist in Pearl Islands, where part of that was you got to not be in the game for a long time and also, like, rest and recuperate.
Right.
Redemption Island is not resting or recuperating, and you have to earn your way back in. I think that will give them more credence with the jury. I think getting in front of the jury is going to be the hard part. They voted you out the first time for a reason.
Yeah.
Why not just do it again?
Yeah, not to tip my hand on what the future holds, but no, I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to tip my hand because I think it shows where the show goes, and I don't want to say that. I don't want to color your opinion.
Let me ask you a different question then.
Sure.
Because I don't know, like, that kind of gets away from this season. What would you need to see from a contestant, or, like, what would the game setup be that would allow a player voted out to still win the game? Like, is Redemption Island the best version of that in your mind, or what is the path? What should the game set up on the front end?
I think that some of these early vote out players are almost impossible for them to get there. Because you're right, they didn't play a whole game. If it's like a late in the game vote out and then they somehow find their way back in and didn't miss much, I think that's fair game. I think for someone to go, hey, I was duped once, but you can't dupe me again, and then flip the game around in some way or another, I think that's great.
Especially if they go out from like an idol play or something.
Yeah. I as a jury member would want to hold that to some regard and not just discount them because they lost once, they shouldn't be here.
But if like Matt, for example, was, you know, if he needs to win, you know, if he's on Redemption Island for five more challenges, he runs the gauntlet of five more people and then comes back in the game and then somehow makes it to the jury, you as a jury member would not, you'd be like, I don't know, man. That's it. You didn't really play Survivor. You played something very different. You as a jury member, Steven.
Me as a jury member. I would, at this point, I want to highlight that only four people have seen a duel.
Like, true.
Who are still in the game. Only four people have seen what this is.
But so, more will.
More will.
And in this hypothetical, like, Matt goes on, like, a five run, whatever.
Yeah.
Most people have seen a duel. You've seen a duel. Let's say that.
If I've seen a duel, I'd be interested. I'd listen to what they have to say, but they have an uphill battle. If I'm watching every single duel and I'm seeing the progression here and seeing what they're doing to have to accomplish being here, that's a different story.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I think this whole thing might have been a mistake. I just think like fucking with one of those three pillars of like when you have immunity, you're safe. When you're voted out, you're gone. And the jury picks who's the winner. I think maybe messing with any of those three things causes way too many problems with the whole format.
It does kind of upend a lot of things, and people have to react accordingly. And sometimes it's more predictable than others.
And what I'm worried about is, like, so far through three episodes, I really like this season. This has a very interesting cast of characters. And Russell Hantz is here. But also, like, his tribe voted him off. like this, these are people that are playing hard. Like overall, the cast of this season, I think, is better than the cast of Nicaragua. However, there's this weird thing in the game that now we just kind of have to deal with.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right. Continuing on in the email. This season was actually originally picked to be Richard Hatch versus Russell Hance.
It
was,
oh my god.
It was supposed to be the Godfather of Survivor strategy versus its newest innovator. However, similar to Heroes versus Villains, Hatch was not allowed to leave the country due to his tax evasion, so they pivoted to Boston Rob.
Wow.
God, that's funny. I do think Philip was right to be annoyed when he tried to ask Christina and Francesca what the numbers were to take out Boston Rob, and they just refused to tell him anything about the idol. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. They can't just reasonably expect him to just throw his vote away. Most successful Survivor alliances actually like each other, and if they're already calling Philip Big Mouth on day two, then they probably shouldn't have aligned with him.
I sort of agree on the merits. I think his tone and the way he was talking to them was probably a bigger problem. Like, yeah, what is your plan? And them not telling about the idol, I totally get that. It can also be like, even if they didn't have the idol, like, we're going to go talk to other people too. Philip, we came to you first. Like, there's a lot more than just, don't talk to me until you have all of the numbers.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's all very fascinating. And finally, CBS has also started advertising Survivor 50 now, so Jared may want to be careful to avoid spoilers for who's going to be on it if he cares to do so.
I am. Yeah, I haven't seen anything so far. I don't watch a lot of things with ads, so I'm pretty insulated.
Yeah, Jared's pretty good about putting the fingers in the ears if he has to.
Yeah, and it helps that it's usually it will start, like, if there is promotional Survivor stuff, like, it usually starts with Jeff's face, and then I can ignore it.
And then that's the end of the emails, but one thing I did want to highlight is something that a future Survivor contestant posted. There is a current fundraiser right now at go.rallyup.com/standwithmn. It's basically an auction for things that you can do with Survivor contestants. Mm. So, like, you can go, if you live in a certain area, you can go play this, like, escape room type thing. If you have Mario Party, you can buy an experience with the cast of Survivor 42, and all the proceeds go to I'm going to make sure I get this right. It's all proceeds go to the ILCM, the Immigrant Law Center of Minnesota.
Can we just talk about for a very brief second how surreal that existing even is? Because, like, this is the kind of thing that would be set up for, like, hurricanes or, you know, wars abroad or, like, you know, like tragedies. And, like, what's happening in Minnesota is a tragedy.
It's tragedy.
But it's brought by not another country, not natural events, not, you know, like, unrelated lone wolf acts of violence. It is systematic by our own federal government. It's fucking insane and surreal.
Yeah. We've done this to ourselves.
Yeah.
So, Survivor's gonna help us get out of it.
Sure, man. I mean, I'm being, like, I'm being a cagey bitch. Everything, like, that is, I don't want to undercut the message. Like, that is very important. Mm-hmm. And, like, please go support it if you have the time, money, and interest. It's just surreal.
Yeah.
It's like, imagine a year ago trying to explain this to somebody, or a year and a half or whatever.
I got outbid real fast for the Mario Party.
Sure.
Oops. Yeah. I don't know how long this goes, so I apologize if it's all done by the time this episode comes out, but just thought it was important to share. Bumper.
All right, so this episode came out on March 2nd of 2011. A couple things that happened the week between episodes, and by couple, I mean, yep, no, two. It is two. 31st Golden Raspberry Awards, the last airbender wins.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't bring all of them up, but it being the last airbender is pretty funny.
Have you seen that movie?
No, but I've seen the scene where, like, seven earthbenders do this whole choreography to lift a pebble.
Yeah, it's rough. It's basically M. Night Shyamalan saying, hey, look at this cool IP. I don't want to use any of that. Just give me the important stuff.
I'm going to take off its skin and wear it like a mask and do nothing else with it.
Yeah. Truly a disappointment for Steven as a child.
Yeah, I was glad I was warned before I saw it.
I wasn't.
And then Frank Buckles, the last surviving American World War I veteran, passed away, born 1901. Holy shit, that man was 109 years old.
Woo!
Which, I mean, just kind of like end of an era of like, oh, the last living American soldier, whatever. That's just crazy, man. 109, that man saw so much.
The last airbender, the last World War I vet.
Maybe he was an airbender.
Oh.
The top five movies are Just Go With It, I Am Number Four, still at number four.
Crazy. It has to live there now forever.
It's still there to this day. The King's Speech, Unknown, and the topic of our episode of this section, Hall Pass. Steven, are you familiar with Hall Pass?
No. It sounds like a bad rom-com.
I'm surprised. Like, I remember hearing about this, at least. Best friends Rick and Fred each have been married for a long time, and they are showing signs of restlessness. To revitalize their marriages, their wives grant them 1 week to do whatever they please, no questions asked. At first, the deal sounds like a dream come true, but as the week marches on, the two friends discover that their expectations are wildly out of sync with reality. Sounds gross. Steven, what do you think is rated on Rotten Tomatoes?
I think that this is a bad movie. I'm going to go with a critic score of 42, Answer to the Life Universe and everything, and audience score of 51.
The gap between them is basically spot on. You're 10 points too high on each.
Wow.
32% critic, 40%
so
audience.
Bad, bad.
Bad, bad. Yeah, the consensus being some filmgoers may be surprised by Farrelly's defense of traditional domestic values in Hall Pass. Unfortunately, they'll probably also be dismayed by the absence of laughs. That's scathing.
That's pretty rough. To shame there was no comedy in this romantic comedy. Rough.
It's sort of important.
All right,
that's it.
Well, let's get into the episode. Episode 3, Keep Hope Alive, right here on the arm.
Oh,
we're keeping
God,
hope
I forgot
alive.
About that. Oh my God.
Okay, we start at Redemption Island and Francesca's like, "Hey, what are you doing here? I thought Philip was going to be here." Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, too.
Yeah, he's like, I would also love the answer to that question.
I didn't have any of my stuff. I wasn't prepared for this.
I'm really shocked that everyone doesn't take their stuff to every tribal.
I know.
Especially this season.
I know.
That seems so important.
Boston Rob, he's a scoundrel.
Dubbed over because he actually said piece of shit. No, I'm kidding.
No, he was protecting the eyes and ears of everyone in America because he's the religious one.
That might actually be the closest to swearing Matt's ever come. There should be an idol on Redemption Island.
Ooh. What makes you say that?
I mean, if you got nothing else to do, might as well look for an idol.
How would that help you? You've already been voted out.
Well, yeah, but for the person coming back.
Okay. Got it. So you just take it with you when you come back into the game?
Yeah.
All right.
I imagine.
Sure.
I don't know. This whole shit's weird. They removed a load-bearing pillar of survivors, so let's get weird with it.
Why not? At Oma Tepe, Rob says tonight couldn't have gone any better.
Wait, sorry, before you move on.
Sure.
So Matt leaving his stuff behind leads to another logistical question that I don't know that the contestants have the answer to. What happens to Matt's stuff? Does it just stay with Oma Tepe? And if he comes back into the game, what tribe does he come back on?
That's a good question.
Or does nobody come back till the merge?
Also a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna have to find out, huh?
Sure, yep.
Yeah, like I said, Rob said tonight couldn't have gone any better. Phil says, do you get the Academy Award or the Emmy for your acting tonight?
Boston Rob says that to Philip, and Philip answers.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, like, I'd take the Academy Award.
I get the Academy Award.
What? What? What a weird guy. Why? That's not the type of question you answer because it's like a rhetorical, why are
no,
you?
No, he should be happy. He did the thing that he was supposed to do. He acted the fool. He acted like he was getting kicked down tonight, and yet he wasn't.
And then Boston Rob just tells him to his face that he's fifth. He's like, yeah, it's, you know, me and I don't remember what the girl that Boston Rob's like, I'll put on my back. I can't remember her name right now. And then there's these two. So, like, you're fifth. And he's like, great. Love being fifth. Great number.
Yeah. He says Natalie and Ashley and me and Grant, says Boston Rob.
Oh, okay. That's what it is.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah. And, but you, no flip-flopping or I don't know what. He basically says, just don't flip-flop. And he says, you own my vote. I work for you, my friend. I will not betray you.
Being fifth isn't the worst thing to be, because that means the two groups of two will be vying for your vote. The sash path.
Sure.
However, it's Philip, so I don't think he's going to get there.
But Rob, ever the strategist, has to go to work on Andrea right away.
Yeah, it says, like, she's smart enough to know we double-crossed her, as opposed to what? Like, what do you mean she's smart enough? What other possibility?
This crazy thing happened, and somebody screwed up, but a lot of people screwed up all at the same time.
A lot of thought that Philip was spelled M-A-T-T. I'm so sorry, Andrea.
Bygones be bygones, right? Yeah. And then we jump into Redemption Island, where we're told to follow the path to the arena, but it's a lot of jumping around in this section.
So it's not even an island, then? They can walk there?
Yeah. Or the... I mean, we've seen it before that island is more of a loose term.
Sure, Exile Island,
yeah.
Depending on the Exile topography.
Area over there. Exile Dune. Exile... nice little hut in the middle of an area. You know, we have options. But they're going to their duel, and back at the two camps, they're told to, all right, two people from each tribe get to go watch these duels as an impartial observer.
Why?
I think this is important.
I guess that's it's a good point. You don't want people to, like, be able to, like, say there's any rat fuckery or anything like that, I guess. And for information in the game. I don't know.
Yes. And Jeff says it later, but I'm going to bring it up here, that, yes, it is both a tool and a weapon that you can use. This is a pretty weak weapon.
I was going to say, and, like, they tell Russell that Francesco wins when Matt does. What advantage does that... It doesn't do anything.
It doesn't... Other than he feels a little blindsided when he shows up and expects Francesca.
Sure.
But then
he was already literally blindsided.
He has a whole half a day to be like, okay, yeah, I'm going against Matt.
Right.
So they draw rocks on each tribe, and Steve and David from Zapatera get to go watch, and Andrea and Ashley get to watch from Ometepe. Andrea, ever hopeful, and like that really nice girlfriend that you feel bad going off to college. If Matt can see that I wasn't the one who did this, maybe we could team up later down the road when he gets back in this game.
Girl, he's not getting back in this game.
And Rob, a little disappointed that Andrea goes, I don't want her talking to her island boyfriend.
How much time do you think they're going to have to talk, Rob? And, like, about what?
Again, we don't know.
That's fair. It's just one of those things of, like, what will them talking actually change? Like, they were close when they left. He's going to know that she didn't vote for him. If he can count the votes.
Uh-huh.
What does it change?
So then we come into this stone temple-looking area with...
It rips, let's be honest.
It's pretty cool. There are stands that people can sit in. It's fun.
Where did they find this? Did they build this?
Oh, they absolutely built this.
They did a good job. It looks... It matches the, like, terrain. It looks weathered.
Yeah. A lot of papier-mâché, I would assume.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
This is why Nicaragua had a budget of $4.
We were busy building the gladiator monolith.
Well, and the challenges this season. I mean, for the one this episode, they reused one from Nicaragua, but like the set pieces for the challenges this season are already bigger and more impressive than Nicaragua in, you know, two of the three of them that aren't the same one from Nicaragua that was the most impressive one from that season.
So in our first duel, they have to use sticks and rope to retrieve three keys. So basically build a long pole that is strong enough and long enough to retrieve the keys to reach them.
we've seen this a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Most, it's fine.
Most famously in Pearl Island.
Yeah, that's true. we saw it after that, too.
Sure.
But, yeah, this is fine. It's not... I was very wrong. It's not physical duels. That's what they were advertising it as.
Sure.
I don't think it's...
A knockdown, dropout, fight to the death.
I mean, it is, like... I don't know. It's a fine competition. The biggest thing is this just, like... we're talking now. Like, we're, like... 20% into the episode, we're gonna talk about who goes home. It's weird. It feels weird watching it. Like, it almost feels like the episode should, like the vote should happen at like the 35 minute mark, and then we get all of the episode up through the duel. Like, it feels like we're watching episodes that, like, they're not being cut at the right spot, because for 21 previous seasons, when the person goes home, that is the end of the episode.
Yeah, it does. It feels very strange, and it feels like me as a viewer is confused because you've established this rhythm for 21 seasons, and now you're throwing it out the window. So, all in all, once you get past that, I enjoy it. There's a very muted Jeff here.
Yeah.
I think he realizes in the moment that this can't have the same energy as a full immunity challenge or reward challenge. This is to him, it feels like a final three challenge or a final four challenge.
Yeah. I mean, the energy is lower because usually he is being fueled by the energy of all the contestants talking and yelling and, like, you know, like collaborating. And now it's just silence and him.
Uh-huh. But you set the tone with, "Survivor's ready. Go." You're like, oh, okay, Jeff, all right. I'm in. This is different. Francesca does a better job of building the stick.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets out to an early lead.
And then she fucking chokes.
And then she falls apart, man. She was so close, and I don't know what happened. Like, she just couldn't get that last key. It was the furthest one, so yeah. Maybe she just had a shorter, more sturdy stick. And didn't know how to transition out.
I don't know. But it was disappointing. I really wanted Fran to win. I liked her a lot better than Matt.
Yeah. Matt's whole... He kept falling apart. And then he was scrappy. I'll give it to him. He kept coming back and he kept trying. And he does. He wins. He stays alive. I did love how engaged the audience cast members were here.
Yeah.
They're just having a grand old time watching this.
I almost think they just should have just brought out everybody. Mm. Like, again, like, hiding the information doesn't really do anything.
I agree. If the point is that there is people to observe what happened so that we'd know that Survivor didn't pull any fuckery, have them all see.
Yeah. When just, like, it makes the energy bigger, it lets, you know, more cheering, more, I don't know.
Yeah.
More fun.
So, Jared, just to throw off our rhythm here.
Yeah, it's fucking weird.
How do you think Francesca does in Future Survivor?
Before that, I want to talk about, like, they don't have a torch to snuff.
They don't.
Because their torch has already been snuffed.
Oh, yeah, good point. Sorry.
So, Jeff says, like, you can throw your buff in the fire.
Can. Have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it. But, like, then I was like, so what is the alternative? They don't snuff their torch at Tribal? But that would feel weird, too.
Yeah.
It's almost like this was a really important ritual for the show, and changing it, they did not think enough about the, like, how to structure changing it.
Yeah, I get why they did it, because I agree, they didn't want to change the snuffing torch.
Yeah.
That's all set in stone. We can't mess with that. But then it leaves us with very few options to get rid of you.
Jeff just breaks their torch over his knee.
I'm done with you. Yeah, you either create a new something, like a totem that goes on their torch that they take with them, then
yeah.
That gets thrown into the fire, or like we see here, the buff. I find it as a viewer, like, a bummer that they don't get to keep their buff, like,
yeah,
their game-worn buff, but, I mean, they'll probably get a backup.
Yeah.
They'll get something.
But yeah, Fran, I really liked her. She got a really fucking raw deal. I like, she was an early favorite of the personalities on this season for me, especially on Ometepe. It seems like there's, I mean, a lot of the younger people seem kind of bland, if I'm being honest. I like some of the, like, I like Christina. Matt's fine. Obviously, I love Boston Rob. And Grant seems okay. Maybe out the other ones will grow on me, Andrea and Ashley. But, like, Francesca is one of the standouts. And I think that she probably, like, I think she handled Philip as well as she could. I don't think anybody in her position would have done any better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think in a normal season, she's, like, if she can get through the first few votes, like, she's a contender. She's somebody that can go far. She could go that 7-5-3 range.
She can go the distance.
Yeah, she could. Well, not this season.
Not this season. You're getting another shot.
Wait, really?
Fans versus favorites too, Kara Moen.
I'm so fucking happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Because she deserves it. And is that our first boot to ever come back?
I believe so.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
How do you have like a sense, given a second time, you're like, throw them in?
I just have her and Brenda. And, oh, Eric.
Yeah?
I don't know. She can't do worse.
Can't do worse. You're right.
But I'm genuinely excited to have her back. Great. That's crazy. I did not expect you to say that.
That's fun. So that happens. The two guys who are watching from Zapatera are like, hey, let's keep this a secret who won. Let's lie and say that Francesca won so that we can throw Russell off his rhythm.
This is the kind of shit that Russell would pull.
Beat him in his own game. Why not?
Well, but like his game that didn't work. Like it is so funny that if you think back to like the first episode of Samoa with him burning socks and doing all this like rat fuckery shit.
Mm-hmm.
All it did was hurt him in the future. It did nothing to help him in Samoa, and all it did was give him a terrible reputation that now is being held against him this episode.
Yes.
So funny.
Good. I'm glad it's being held against him at all.
Consequences meet actions.
Yeah. Before we head back to the two camps, I want to point out the Matt and Jeff interaction of it all. That Jeff says, all right, head back and await your next opponent. And Matt gives the biggest scoff of all time, and he's like, whoa, 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 okay, hold on. Why are you laughing? And Matt goes, it's nowhere near as nice as our camp. Being by yourself is hard, but you got to seize the moment. All right.
Okay.
And Jeff says to, he sends him off, and Jeff says to the four viewers that, as always, what you saw here and what you share is up to you.
Okay.
All right. Back in Ometepe, Rob's like, how's Matt? Oh, he's pissed.
Yeah.
We didn't talk to him, but you could tell he was real mad, and he said he can't wait to get his revenge. I took a still shot of Grant's face at this moment because it's so funny.
It's like, oh, huh? Okay.
He wants revenge?
Of course he does.
How would he know who did this to him? Everyone knows.
Because he can count.
Yes. Rob says there's a chance that he could run the table and Andrea will run over to him, over me, and that's not good.
Yeah, and Boston Rob actually, to Andrea, tries to make it a group decision, even though Boston Rob seems to have been the one that was like, we need to get rid of Matt right now. But he's like, hey, I tried to talk him out of it, but... It wasn't just me. It snowballed. I'm sorry. Nothing I could do.
And Andrea's like,
snake.
I don't know where I stand. Am I even in the alliance anymore?
She's in such a tough spot.
I actually like this play.
Mm.
I like the do you guys still want me? Because then it takes the like offensive any sort of air out of whatever they perceive in her.
Mm-hmm.
It's the I am just, you know, I'm in danger. Ooh. Now and I want to work with you guys, and that sucks that I lost my friend, but will you please keep me around?
Yeah. And, like, that is, I think, maybe her only play. Like, what is she going to do? Flip to Christina?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. Philip's now fully under Boston Rob's spell, so you just need to convince Boston Rob that you will be, that you'll be loyal. And then hope that you can win enough challenges or a tribe swap happens that you are not the one, like that they cut Christina, maybe Philip, and then by then your situation has changed.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, this is something, but also she asked, hey, so are Phil and Christina voting for me tonight? And Rob goes, Yeah. Way to make her feel safe, Rob.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Fucking Boston, Rob.
Yeah. And Andrea's like, yeah, I don't believe them. Deep down, I'm pissed at what they did, but what am I going to do?
She has no power.
She's got nothing right now. Over at Zapatero, like you said, they say that Francesca won. Ooh, a big hoax. And
yeah, you fucking got him.
Russell goes off to the side here. He's like, it's 3 versus 6, but we have the clue, which is great. But the clue is so vague that I can't find this. So we have to spend most of this time just searching for this idol.
And at this point, I was like, wait, is Ralph going to make a fake idol for them?
Mm.
Instead, they made a fake idol for themselves.
Correct. And yeah, Stephanie says, we don't need the real idol, but we need a fake one. So she doesn't really make anything. She just pins her bag shut. And then
I thought she made something.
If she did, it's not meant to look like something. It's more of a placeholder than I'm faking you out.
Okay.
The goal was, hey, I'm holding onto this bag real tight so that nobody can look at it, thereby insinuating that I have something. And I mean, Steve kind of falls for the bait here. He's like,
yeah,
keeping a tight hold of that bag, isn't she? Want me to hold it for you? Not sure if your legs were tired.
I gotta say, Ralph is playing with fire by not telling anybody else that he's found the idol.
Mm.
Because, and I guess it ends up being fine because they do the vote split, but he could just tell everyone he has the idol and then they wouldn't have to worry about splitting their votes. Just vote out Russell. Because I thought he was going to get out of it again.
Sure.
I thought, like, I was so scared.
It's a possibility.
That it was going to work. That he was going to flip over the firefighter whose name I forget. Like, I was ready to be so mad.
Also in this moment, Russell continues to find ways to make it creepy.
Uh-huh.
I like to watch the two girls with that bag. This may have been taken wildly out of context, but it just feels...
I know what he means.
Like, it's a harmless sentence.
Yes, what he's saying is that, like, I like them... I like watching them play this...
I like knowing that they have the thing.
Right, well, and that they are going out there and they are sowing chaos and, like, doing my work and that we're sort of maybe winning this psychological battle. But he says it like a freak.
Right. He feels like he makes it a double entendre just because.
Yeah, because of his tone and because he's a weird guy. And brackets derogatory.
So to continue on making it weird, Steve, Russell and his harem have the clue.
Yeah.
He's always plotting and scheming, and we got to stay on our toes until the cancer is gone.
But I will say to Steve's credit, like, Stephanie is weird about Russell this episode. Yeah. Like, full-on, like, hero worship cult. Like behavior in tribal council, and it's fucking weird.
Well, maybe this knocks him down a little peg. His armpits are like way infected. Why did he try to shave his armpits on an island?
Maybe he shaved them like the day before he came?
Potentially.
But it looks gross as hell. I joked when I saw what the challenge was that, like, I have my notes that I was like, you can't put Russell on the wheel because then the water's a biohazard.
If you've never shaved your armpits before, one, don't do it right before you go on a television show where your armpits are out and you don't have access to, like,
hygiene.
Yeah. Or two, don't wing it with a machete or whatever he tried to do here.
Oh, you're probably right. It was probably the machete.
I don't know. I have no idea what he did and how it got this bad.
Yeah,
but he did it.
I didn't need to see his gross rash.
It
has no significance. At least, I mean, maybe he gets medevac next season from Redemption Island because of it. But if not, I didn't need to see it.
Yeah, David says that he's just awful. He sits in the shelter with his concubines. He's like a black hole. We're just continuing down this line, right?
I really enjoy the dunking on Russell edit because I do feel like the show is still trying to make him out to be like this cool Machiavellian guy, even though his tribe's all like, we fucking hate that dork.
So then the group of six gets together and says, we gotta do something, right? Let's potentially throw the challenge. If we're all in agreement, let's throw the challenge, get rid of him, because we can't have him around and he can't get further in this game. But everyone's there's like a little bit of hesitancy. Julie is not feel like she has the edit of I want to compete. I want to, I don't want to throw challenges. I don't want to do that. I want to try to win everything. And how they determined if they were going to do it is they went into the challenge and said, all right, we'll see what the reward is. And then we'll give a thumbs up to each other if we're throwing the challenge.
Sure. This is the season of silent communication.
On the shoulder, yeah. Thumbs up to each other.
We do get to see a cool thing. I'm kind of jumping ahead. When they are discussing, like when they do decide to throw the challenge, like at the challenge, we don't really ever see the strategizing that happens from when Jeff, like after the sit-outs before the challenge starts.
Yeah.
And I don't remember a time seeing it before of like people going off and like, okay, we'll do this and you do this part of it and you do this part of it. And it's cool to see.
Yeah. And I think people have told us before that there is a good amount of time where they're prepping the challenge, they're prepping people's microphones, they're giving you time to strategize. That's just never shown in the show.
Because why would it be most of the time?
Because you don't need it. It doesn't move any plot forward. Although this time...
It sure does.
It does. Because they're throwing it. And I skipped over the showing, but it's the water wheel challenge. The physical torture challenge. Except this time, instead of the rolling the ball thing to end it, which we did last time, we are doing a slide puzzle that... The ball goes through. I don't know. The rolling the ball through is nothing.
True. Yeah.
It's just a way to end the slide puzzle.
Yeah. But I think it's cool to have a slide puzzle that's like you're connecting pieces to make a track rather than a picture.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
That's fair. Okay. And they're playing for a little bit of comfort, chairs, tarp, and a lantern. Zapatera sits Ralph and like Ralph and Sarita.
What I do think, the fact that it's combined reward immunity is part of the reason why they were like, let's wait till we get to the challenge to decide if we're going to throw.
Uh-huh.
And this is a tough one to throw.
It's a tough one to throw.
Tarp is worth its weight in gold out there. We have seen that time and time again, and especially in Nicaragua.
Uh-huh.
It is going in the rainforest of Nicaragua. You want that fucking tarp.
But again, they may not know that at this point. Like,
it's already rained.
It's rain, but it hasn't been as bad as last season.
True.
And it may suddenly turn the tide. Like, they could go back into rainy season. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Exciting. Anyway, they do the challenge, and they tell Julie to miss the bucket. And they do. They delay it as much as they can. Yeah.
I will say that the next time on from last episode, showing Stephanie being like, it's going to be the biggest blindside ever, gave away that Zapatero was going to go to tribal this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I pretty much knew all episode, like, that Ometepe was going to win immunity. Didn't know it was going to be because they threw it.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, Ometepe gets a huge advantage by just, you know, trying. And by the time David gets to the puzzle, like they finally get it to him, he's trying so hard to throw.
He's trying too hard to throw. It's so obvious. David, not a good actor.
And Russell, looking from above, watching this, is like, fuck, I know where this is going.
I will give Russell credit. His strategy mind's like, that's what I would do. that's what I would do.
Yeah, I get it. He's not telling it well. And they call him out at tribal council of, he's not moving the pieces. He's just looking at it. And he goes, no, just because I'm not moving the pieces doesn't mean my mind's not working.
Yeah, Russell even says, I think, in the confessional, if I didn't know any better, I would think they were throwing.
Yeah.
So he sniffs it out immediately.
And really, did you have to try to throw this hard? Because you're going against Boston Rob.
Right. And how pissed do you think Boston Rob was to learn later that this was a thrown challenge? Because he's so proud of his team. And he's like, yeah, we fucking got him.
I don't think he cares as long as he doesn't go.
I don't know. Yeah, that's true. The duality of Boston Rob is, I don't care, I just want to win, but also having a lot of pride.
Yeah. It doesn't affect his pride in the moment.
True.
Like, he can go back and
he has no idea.
Be around the people and be like, I did that. And they can go, you did that.
Ometepe probably legitimately doesn't know. like, they weren't watching David.
No.
Like, they're watching their own side.
And yeah, Russell says, they threw the challenge. I'm dealing with a bunch of bitches.
A bunch of bitches.
Mm. Mm. All right. So, Ometepe, normally a win would put me through the roof, but this whole clue business has got me thinking things, says Rob. Everyone's out, or everyone's looking through the furniture for the clue. And in the past, I ignored clues because I didn't want anything to do with the idol.
I don't ever understand how he got to that conclusion. That's so buck wild, his decisions in Heroes versus Villains, to just be like, no, none of us will find an idol.
Well, think about how he's played thus far. He plays from the bully pulpit.
True.
Of, I have my people, and if you go against me and my people, then you're done.
So you think you'd want you and your people to have the tool, that the one tool in your possession that could have that those numbers get flipped for a vote.
You're right.
And he figured that out. I will say, too, it is interesting to see Boston Rob versus Russell in their approaches. Boston Rob, he's tracked every mistake and success he's made.
Yeah.
Like he voted out Matt because he's like, power couple, know how that goes, get rid of him. He's playing hard for this idol because got burned by that. And Russell said, I did everything perfectly when I played, and I'm going to not change a fucking thing.
I was perfect, even though you weren't, and it didn't work.
And that's why Boston Rob is still in his tribe, and Russell is, at the end of this episode, at Redemption Island.
You're right. So since the clue was nowhere to be found, everyone just kind of goes their separate ways. Philip sits down in the chair and immediately starts to fall asleep. And Rob notices something funky with that chair.
He's also checked everywhere.
He was like, hey, Philip, that chair's not looking right. Can you move over to this chair? He's like, yeah, okay, sure, whatever. Immediately falls back asleep.
And body Rob, shames him the entire time doing it.
He does.
That's the Boston Rob of it sometimes.
He finds the clue, but he also says, had Philip not been so fat, the chair wouldn't have bent so much and I wouldn't have found the clue.
Okay.
Yeah. Great, thanks.
Thanks, Boston Rob.
Thanks, Rob. He's so close to being, like, charming and fun, and then he goes, like,
every so often, it just goes a little far, and you're like, all right.
All right. Yeah. But then Rob reads the clue, and he's like, that basically told me it could be anywhere.
Yeah.
So thanks. I'm not telling anyone that I have this clue.
I wish we got to read what the clues were. Like, they didn't really show us. Oh, well.
Over at Zapatera, Russell, again, is sitting on his high horse, and Ralph goes, Russell thinks he runs the show, but we're going to split this vote. David wants to split the vote. Go ahead.
Take a shot every time Ralph says in the last two episodes, it's not his game, it's my game.
My game. Russell is pissed. He's like, it's stupid to throw the challenge two up, and we're going to use that to our advantage here, because they have to split, because they think we have the idol. All we have to do is flip one, and they target the correct person,
I think they do.
Go after the one who did not want to throw the challenge. Convenient that it also happens to be a woman that Russell thinks he can have power over.
Sure.
Yeah, and so everyone kind of goes to work on Julie. Stephanie goes to work, asks Julie if she knows where she stands in that other group. It's like, I don't know. Like, I could be anywhere, really. I could be toward the bottom. Not sure.
Stephanie's asking the right questions. I've taken a complete 180 on Stephanie, by the way.
Okay.
I don't like her anymore.
Oh, really?
She's trying too hard this episode. Not this bit. I actually think her bit with Julie is really smart.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole, like, it'll be the biggest blindside ever. And then, like, all the hero worship of Russell in the tribal, and then the storms come in. Like, fuck off.
That's too much. I agree. I think this needed to happen. I think her pushing to bring in Julie is great. But again, within that,
you should hack on Titan.
Yes.
Russell is Aaron and Stephanie is Flock.
Da-da-da-da-da.
The zealotrous, like, true believer that's like, oh, you're actually maybe crazier.
Oh, I don't like this. Yeah.
You've gone farther?
Too much. Yeah. Like I said, Steph, a little bit of a fanatic here. He's going to take us to the top.
Okay. Like, you're smart enough to do it on your own. I think that that conversation with Julie was really good. Like, Stephanie played it right. If she wasn't doing this, like, fangirling, it would be, like, she could be a really good player. What's going on?
Yeah. So Stephanie goes back and she's like, yeah, Julie's on our side. Great. Russell, I'll go talk to her. Like, hold up. Wait, no. We have the... We're good. You don't need to put more pressure on.
No, he has to always be the one in control.
And then he
points... And maybe if he doesn't talk to her, maybe it works.
Potentially. He points to his tattoo one more time. Keep hope alive. This okay. ain't over till it's over. Or this is the first time that he shows it, but yeah. Later on...
I think Jeff asks
Jeff
about
makes
it later.
A moment, yeah. Anything else before Tribal Council?
No. All right. Oh, wait. Actually, no, I'm wrong. Both Stephanie and Russell talk about how this would be, like, the biggest move ever. No, it wouldn't be. I mean, it'd be a big move, don't get me wrong. But, like, we've seen enough big moves on Survivor. This is not, like, switching one person. It's basically a redo of Tyson fucking up from Heroes versus Villains. It's not even, like, the biggest move of a season that Russell's been on, let alone the biggest move ever.
I will give a little bit of credit here. If they had made it work, it would have been, I think, a big move. Because they played with value that they didn't have.
Yeah.
They pulled someone over and forced a split, even though they didn't have to do that.
Big move, not the biggest move.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, it would mostly be Ralph's fault.
Correct. Yeah. So, we start, and Ralph is like, I was told there were two parts to this game. What? What are the parts? The two divisions in the tribe. Ralph, what are you talking about?
Yeah, who was it?
There's alliances? Is that what you want?
Jeff translates Ralph's ramblings into English.
What I'm hearing you say is that there are alliances, correct?
Yeah. Is that it, Ralph? Is that what you... Because, like, when he first started saying that, I thought he was trying to say that there was a tribe phase and an individual phase. I thought it was somewhat like
the pre
and post merge.
But no, Ralph is not the clearest communicator that we have here.
No, he has other skills. That is not one of them.
Sarita talks about how, you know what, this whole time, it's all about Russell. And Russell sees this about his legacy and what he brings to this game. And Russell jumps in and he's like, yes, everyone sees my legacy. I'm not burning socks. I'm not pouring out water this time. I came to win challenges. And this time, I felt like they threw the challenge. I felt like they were trying to get rid of me. And Jeff asks, did you? Well, we weren't working 100% on that, were we, Mike?
It's pretty good.
Yeah. And Stephanie goes off here. She's like, having the numbers in the merge is what we need. Throwing is planned stupidity.
So that's why in Russell's first season, he had the numbers going into the merge, right? Like, he didn't. And they went in with, like, what, four? Maybe five? I guess if you count Shambo, five. Mm-hmm. Like, it's better to have more people than not.
Correct.
But to try to pretend that that's the most important thing when you were in Russell fucking Hance's boot camp of how to get to the end of Survivor doesn't hold muster.
Mm-hmm. But then we backtrack what we just said and go, no, actually, we didn't throw the challenge. Steve and David are like, no, we didn't. Rob just beat me, says David. Just because my hands aren't moving doesn't mean my mind's not working.
Huh? I don't know what this walk back is. Everyone knows you threw. Just
everyone.
Say it.
Yeah, it's okay. It's truly okay.
Well, maybe they don't want Jeff to be mad. Jeff doesn't like thrown challenges.
Don't be mad at me, Daddy Jeff. Yeah. And then we dogpile on Russell for a bit longer. He doesn't do anything. Stephanie, again, to his defense, I can't hear her say that he doesn't do anything.
What is with this?
Wake up, people.
What is with this white knighting? Of all people, why are you white knighting Russell?
And then I had to write down that Ralph says something indecipherable. I have no idea what he says.
I didn't even try.
I could have turned on closed captioning, but I just didn't.
Closed captioning probably would have just said indistinguishable noise.
Nothing. And then Russell shows his tattoo again because Jeff asks him about it. And I was in trouble both times I played, but this game is never as it seems, so.
Yeah, because they made a whole fucking island for you to be able to try to come back in the game.
Keep going.
I do kind of wonder a little bit if part of the reason that they tried this was because they know Russell is good TV, and they were like, they're probably going to try to vote this guy out early.
We got
to
find a way to keep him going.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We, even if it doesn't actually get him back into the game, we need to keep, it will keep the ratings up for people that love him if he has a chance to be back in the game.
I think that's valid. And, like, you think it through that typically early on in the game, you vote out your weakest links.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that the show knows that they're also targets. So you throw weakest links versus these two strong competitors.
Yeah.
Gives them a little bit of a leg up.
Uh-huh.
So we vote.
And we finally squashed the fucking cockroach.
We got rid of him.
It took so long for people to go, let's just vote him out.
Yeah.
Let's just vote him out.
Everything goes to plan. It's a 3-3-3 tie. We re-vote, and it's a 5-1 Russell's gone split.
But since we don't know the rules of Redemption Island, he could be back next episode.
He could.
I really fucking hope he's not.
Also, Ralph writes wrestle.
Yes.
R-E-S-S-E-L.
Spelling also not one of the things he's good at.
God, that's fun.
There's no version of the name Russell that is spelled R-E.
People screw up spelling all the time in these. Yeah. That one's really funny to me.
Yeah.
Wrestle. Your protagonist of the episode, Jared.
I mean, it's kind of got to be Russell, I think. Wrestle. Probably. Russell. You could make an argument for Ralph.
Hmm.
I mean, he's the one that orchestrated or helped orchestrate the throne challenge, but I think that was more of a group decision. And
I actually don't know how much he was the mastermind in that one.
Fair. But they've pitted him as the foil to Russell.
Sure.
So, but yeah, kind of group decision. It seems to be the whole, like, those six are adamantly fuck Russell. And so, yeah, Russell becomes the protagonist because it is the question of what do we do about Russell, or how do we vote him out? Like, he's so much the protagonist of this episode that they gave up getting a reward to get the opportunity to vote him out.
How do we solve a problem like Russell?
And I will say, too, I don't usually read the descriptions of the next episodes, because sometimes they hint at things, but I fucked up. This one, I saw it below, and my eyes read up. It said that the person leaving Redemption Island next episode is in tears, so I'm like, oh, Russell wins. he's not gonna cry on his way out.
Sure.
Fuck. Yeah. Fucking cockroach sticking around.
Anything else you'd like to say before we shut this down?
I can't get past the formatting for our podcast feeling. It's weird enough to watch. It's even weirder since we've been doing the same format for our episodes for an equal number of seasons.
Yeah. Throw me off my rhythm, man. I'm confused.
I can see why people don't like this season, even if I am enjoying it so far.
Mm.
We'll see if that continues.
All right. Bumper. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast. Or, you know, since we're off our rhythm, I could just not end it here. We could do something else if you want.
No.
Oh, okay.
We have another one to record now.
That's right.
Well, we have to go watch the episode and then record.
What would you like to promote, Jared?
I'll promote Actors Gymnasium again in Chicago. I think I've done it pretty recently, but they're really cool. Their stage combat classes through Chuck Coyle are awesome. I've taken a bunch of them. They also have a bunch of, like, actual circus classes, and I haven't taken any of those, but I've heard really good things. I've seen people put up, like, you know, Instagram reels and stuff of the tricks they've learned, and it's cool shit. That's it.
Nice.
What about you, Steven?
I'm going to promote humidifiers.
Mm-hmm.
We need them right now.
Shit's dry as fuck.
Yeah, the filter on mine wore out, so I had to wait for it to come in the mail. Mm. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so dry. And of course, that's when I start feeling the, like, sniffles come on.
Yep.
Like, cool, hate that. Awesome.
Oh, I am going to plug, too. Please, like, I haven't done it in a while. Can you guys, like, promote us and, like, rate us and stuff? That'd be cool. Thanks. I won't. For now, I won't do any physical harm to Steven if you don't. But you're on thin ice.
You have to duel me.
Ooh. I do have two swords.
Oh. All right. For my co-host Jared, this is Steven.
For my host Steven, this is Jared.
Duel.
I have Exodia, sorry. Ah, fuck.
Bye-bye.